Om. Let's try chanting this. We'll break the Sunday and spend some time just on the verse, for verse 1. Nimittam manas chakshuradi pravrittahu. Nimittam manas chakshuradi pravrittahu. Typo.
Oh no.
Nirasta, it should be.
Wow.
Interesting. It should be nirasta. Not nirasata. It should be nirasta. Okay.
Nirasta.
Conjunct.
Oh. Oh, that's not much of a typo.
Nirasta. Okay. Nirastakula. Nirastakilo padirakasha. Let's see. Start from the top. Nimittam manas chakshuradi pravrittahu. Nimittam manas chakshuradi pravrittahu. Nirastakilo padirakasha kalpaha. Nirastakilo padirakasha kalpaha. Ravirloka cheshta nimittam yatayaha. Ravir loka cheshta nimittam yatayaha. Sanityo palabdhi swarupo hamatma. Sanityo palabdhi swarupo hamatma. I'm going to read the top line with the sandhi broken, and then I want you to read it back to me, okay? And I'll explain the sandhi, because I would like you to start really remembering the sandhi. Nimittam. Manaha chakshuhu. The first one, manas chakshuhu. The visarga, any vowel plus visarga, followed by a sibilant, optionally goes to the sibilant of its class. So manaha becomes, any vowel followed by cha goes to sha. Any vowel plus visarga, followed by sha, followed by cha or cha goes to sha. So, manascha, I don't know what I was thinking of, but this is the sandhi. Any vowel plus visarga followed by cha or cha, visarga goes to sha. So, manaschakshu. Then, chakshuhu adi, any vowel except r, a, followed by a dissimilar, followed by a visarga, followed by a semi-vowel or vowel, visarga goes to ar. So you have manaha chakshuhu adi privrittau. Okay? So read that line to me. Nimittam.
Manaha chakshuhu adi privrittau.
Okay, so repeat after me. Nimittam manaha.
Nimittam manaha.
Chakshuhu.
Chakshuhu.
Adi pravrittau.
Adi pravrittau.
Next line. Nirasta. This is a compound. These are the words in the compound. Nirasta akila upadhihi. Next word. Next compound. Akasha kalpaha.
Is it
kalpaha? No, it's kalpaha. You know, something has happened here because I noticed that this is correct in the transliteration. So there's been some, what do you call it? Something has happened to the script because the transliteration and these should automatically match. This should say, nirasta akila upadhihi akasha kalpaha. If you're reading the transliteration, it's correct. So I don't know how these letters got inserted. That's interesting. It should say like this. Kalpaha. Instead of kalpaha, kalpaha.
That's the second time.
I know. So we'll have to see. That could be really problematic. So, nirasta. So let's look at it again. Nirasta. and akila. A plus a makes a. Nirasta akila. Then the a plus the u makes o. Nirasta akila upadhi. A plus u is o. Upadhihi. The any vowel except r, a followed by soft consonant or vowel, the visarga goes to r. So upadhihi, then akasha, kalpaha. Okay? Let's do the next one. So repeat after me.
Well, when this kalpaha, yeah, when it's written like it is here on the paper.
If you put a nether stroke right by the, after the L, it'll be okay. For some reason, an a was inserted, so it says kalpa. It should be kalpa.
Okay, I got you. So a sound, it changes the sound by.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe I can fix this when we take a break. Next, so repeat this line after me. Nirasta akila upadhihi.
Nirasta akila.
Akasha kalpaha.
Akasha kalpaha.
Next line. Raver loka cheshta nimittam. Read.
Raver loka cheshta
nimittam.
Yatha
yaha. Look at the sandhi. Ravihi loka. Ravir loka, ravihi loka. Any vowel except ar, a, followed by visarga, followed by soft consonant or vowel goes to utter. Ravir, ravihi loka. Cheshta is a long a there. Cheshta nimittam. Yata yaha. Okay? So repeat after me. Ravihi loka, cheshta nimittam. Yata yaha. Saha, in last line, if I break the sandhi, sa is saha, nitya upalabdhi swarupaha aham atma. So line by line, word by word. Nitya upalabdhi, a plus u is o, nityopalabdhi, swarupaha aham. What is that? Is a followed by visarga, followed by a. The visarga, the a and the visarga go to o, so swarupaha becomes swarupo. And the following a goes to avagraha, which is this s. Avagraha aham atma. Okay? So sa, repeat after me. Sa nityaha upalabdhi swarupaha. Aham atma. Okay. Let's look at the meaning. Go to the top line.
So this is the first verse of Hastamalaka?
Yeah. The top line, nimittam. Nimittam means cause. The nimittam is the cause. Manas means mind. Chakshus. Hey, hi Susan. Welcome. We're just translating right now this verse 1. Okay. Nimittam means cause. Manas, manaha, manas means mind. Chakshu, eyes. Adi, the first, or beginning with. Pravrittau, from, is it going to be in the locative singular from pravritti? And here we're going to have pravritti means functioning or activity. Functioning in this was going to be a good translation of pravritti in this context, but it can also just mean the activity or the inclination for. It also just means simple functioning or activity. So here, if we look at the first line, the nimittam, the cause in the activity, we would say in English, in the cause for the activity of the mind, eyes, etc. Okay? Or we could say the activity in reference to regarding, the, or this, in English really for is better, but know that it's locative singular. So the activity for manas chakshuradi. We'll see in the Bhasha how they break this compound, but it'll be basically for for that which begins with the mind and that which begins with the eyes. Now what that would mean, or for that for whom the first is the mind, or for whom the first, the Adi, is the eyes. And in Sanskrit, they'll use this word Adi to, after the first word of a set, like if I say Chakshuadi, Chakshuradi, it would be that for whom the first is the eyes. So it would be, they're talking about all of the sense organs, eyes, ears, nose, sense of smell, sense of touch, etc. So that Adi will stand for the whole set. So if I say manas Adi, that for whom the first is the mind. And that would be the four parts of the antakarna, right? The mind, the ahankara, the buddhi, and the chitta. And so you get used to this word Adi, which means first or beginning with. At the end of a compound, often it's beginning with, to be a shortcut. First, for you take the first member of a set and then put Adi after it, and includes the whole set. So we'll see how exactly he breaks this compound in great deal in the Bhasha. Let's go to the next line. Nirasta. There's a typo there. Susie, it should be Nirasta. There's an additional other. Nirasta means void of. Akila, all. Upadi means conditioning adjunct. So we would say, and we'll see this clearly in the Bhasha, the one for whom all of the upadis are nirasta, gone, not there. The one who is devoid, in English, the one who is devoid of all upadis, or the one who for whom there are no upadis. Okay? Nirasta akila upadihi. Akasha kalpaha. Like space. Kalpa at the end of a compound. There's another typo there, that L should be kalpa, not kalpa, kalpa. So, akasha kalpa, akasha means space, so akasha kalpaha. Okay? The one who is like space, the one who for whom all of the upadis are devoid, are gone, are not there. Next line. We'll put this all together after we understand each word. Ravihi means the sun. Loka means the world. Cheshta, activity. So it can be the activity of the world or the activity of all beings. Loka can also stand for the people in the world or just the sphere, the sphere of reality, which would be, in this sense, would be the world. So the sun, nominative singular, loka, cheshta, nimittam. Yata, just as. The sun is the nimittam, the cause, for the cheshta, for the activity in the world, or all the activity in the world or of the world. Okay? Yata means just as. Yaha means he who, the one who. Let's go to the next line. Saha, nitya, upalabdi. Nitya means timeless. Upalabdi is consciousness or awareness. Upalabdi
doesn't mean getting something?
No, it means knowledge or awareness. Lub means to get, to obtain.
Mm-hmm.
Nitya, upalabdi. Upalabdi can mean also like to know. Knowing, but here it's being used as consciousness. Timeless consciousness, swarupaha, the one whose nature. So, nitya upalabdhi swarupaha, the one whose nature is timeless consciousness. Aham atma, aham I, atma, aham saha, aham atma, I am that self. Saha, aham atma, I am that self. Nitya upalabdhi swarupaha. I am that self whose nature is timeless consciousness. That's the bottom line. Now it would say, if we want to hook it up, we would say, I am that self, I am that self, who, yaha. On the third line, who is the cause for the activity, who is the cause for the functioning of the mind and the eyes, etc. Who by nature, right, who is free from all upadis, who is like space. I am that one who is the cause for the who is the nimitta and the cause in for the actions of the mind, eyes, etc. Who is free from all upadis, akashakalpaha, like space. Just as the sun is the cause, the nimittam, for the cheshta, the activity of the world. I am that one. So you can see how this can be a little difficult to put it into English. It's perfect when you read it in Sanskrit. So look at the translation. Just as in the wake of the sun, all activities in the world, cheshta, right, the loka cheshta, all of the activities in the world take place, so too in the presence of the self, which, like space, is completely free of all conditioning adjuncts, the mind and the senses function. I am that self whose nature is timeless consciousness.
Is there another translation for it?
For what?
Upadhi besides conditioning adjuncts. Or is there like another name or some other way to say
it? We usually just say conditioning adjuncts. The name in Vedanta, that's going to be the meaning. In the worldly, in the world, it could have something else. You know, just in Vyavahara, an empirical layperson.
Well, upadhi is a locus where you make a mistake.
Yeah, but that's why you say, often we translate it as conditioning adjunct, but then, of course, you have to unfold what conditioning adjunct means.
Yeah, you can just say body, mind, sense, complex.
Yeah, but that's, we have a name for that, karya, karana, sankata. You know? Here, upadhi. Fraud, deceit, trick. Deception, disguise. In Vedanta, he says.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh.
Then, not in Vedanta now, discriminative or distinguishing property, attribute, peculiarity. And then it says it's of four kinds. Though we don't use upadhi that way in Vedanta. But in Vedanta, deception or disguise, that's, you can understand that.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Disguise.
In fact, it's,
yeah.
A special cause for a general effect. That's how it's used in logic. It is a logical term also, if you're studying Nyaya. I remember that. So you have to, that's why, you know, they say that even if you're a pundit in Sanskrit, that doesn't mean that you can read Vedanta or Sankhya or anything, that you'll understand it. Because to understand it, you have to understand the technical terms, how they're using a term.
It has to be unfolding.
Yeah.
Kelly, there's an English typo in your translation.
Where?
Where you say so too. I think the two should be.
Good, well, okay. So does everybody kind of get this? How it works? The reason a bhasha is so good is because it'll just expand all this and make it completely clear. So let's go to the bhasha. Nanu, you can repeat after me. Nanu sarvatra grantadau.
Nanu sarvatra grantadau.
Shishta nam.
Shishta nam.
Ishta devataha.
Ishta devataha.
Sandhi is that, right? I'm breaking it. Shishta nam ishta devatas. Sarga becomes Vasarga, that's it. Oh, sorry. I do this all the time. Sorry. Start over. Shishtanam.
Shishtanam.
Ishtadevata.
Ishtadevata.
Stuti.
Stuti.
Namaskara.
Namaskara.
Purvika.
Purvika.
Pravrittihi.
Pravrittihi.
Upalabdha.
Upalabdha.
Ara is Vasarga. Okay? Ayam cha, vina, stuti namaskarau, pravartamanaha, ashishtatvat, Anadaraniya. Vachanaha. Prasajjeteti. Chait. Okay? That's the first. This is a little aside that that Shankara, or whoever the commentator is, we attribute it to Shankara, brings in. That is, in a sense, off topic. But he's just noting something because he wants people to take this text seriously. Do you notice that this first verse of Hastamalika is not acknowledging, his teachers or the Lord? It's not, there's not a prayer. It doesn't not beginning with a prayer. In the tradition, the first verse should always be a salute to your guru and a salute to the Lord. At least a salute to the Lord, and usually a salute to namaskars to the Lord and also to the teacher. So he says nanu. When a sentence starts with nanu, that means doubt. It's just a word. It's like announcing this is a doubt. Nanu.
It's a famous word.
Mm-hmm. So Swamiji always say, Nanu. Sarvatra means everywhere. It's an indeclinable everywhere. That tra affix has a locative sense. So in all places, in all, everywhere. And what he's talking about, everywhere within the tradition, in all the books that have been written. Granta adao, at the beginning of a book. Granta is book or text. So, granta adao, compound, at the beginning of a text, okay, locative singular here. So, everywhere in the tradition, all of the texts that have been written in all classes that are given, so within the tradition, at the beginning of a book, shishtanam. The shishtas are those persons who are learned, who are scholars, who are the wise people. The honorable people, the respected people. So here, everywhere, among those who are respected within the tradition, is a good way to say it, those who are most respected in the tradition, the shishtas, genitives, plural, ishta-devata. The ishta-devata is the deity, their own particular deity. It could be Shiva or Krishna or whoever, Saraswati, it could be anybody, whoever your ishta-devata is. So the devata that is dear to you is desired. The devata that is desired by you. So that ishta devata, stuti means praise. Namaskara means salutations. So praise, salutations. Purvika, it's a preceded by, attended with. Let's get the next two words and then we'll make sense. The pravritti, here pravritti means the undertaking. The undertaking itself, the pravritti, pravrittihi upalabdha. The undertaking is seen. Upalabdha means is seen, is known. What is known? That the undertaking, that everywhere at the beginning of a text, the undertaking itself, the undertaking of the text, is preceded by purvika, is preceded by praise and salutation, stuti namaskar. It is purvika preceded by stuti namaskar. Stuti, praise and salutations of the devata, the ishta devata. Okay? So, doubt. Everywhere it is seen. Everywhere it is seen that an undertaking among those who are learned and respected learned people, the undertaking is preceded by praise and salutations of who? Of the ishta devata. So, you know, if you can't follow the Sanskrit, there's transliteration on the next page.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Everybody see this? So we repeat it. We did that, okay. Ayamcha, and this means ayamcha. Ayam means this, and cha. And the cha will come after the first member of a new clause. That's why the cha comes second. So it means, and this means what? And this work, this pravritti, this undertaking, so it goes back to pravritti, this ayamcha, and this, vina Stuti Namaskara. Bina means without. And the word bina is an indeclinable, and it will govern the accusative, instrumental, or ablative. So here it's in the accusative dual. So without stuti and namaskara, stuti namaskara, without praise and salutations, pravartamanaha, proceeding. So we would say, and this which is proceeding, it's a present participle, pravartamanaha, and this which is proceeding without stuti and namaskara, pravartamanaha, ashishta twat, because of being twat, right? Because of being ashishta means this is something, shishta means it's learned, it's respected, the people who are shishtas are learned, respected scholars. If you say because of being ashishta means it doesn't fall in that category. Because it's not respectable, it's not following the tradition. We'll see why in a minute, okay? Ashishta twat.
Mm. Oh, this is a fault?
Yeah. Because of being ashishta, it's rude. It's crass. It's gross. It's brash. Yeah. Because of being so brash, so crude. Anadaraniya vachanaha. The words, the vachanaha, the statements are anadaraniya, not to be respected, should be discarded. Anadaraniya. Prasajeta iti. Prasajeta iti chet. See that? Prasajeta. When you say prasajeta, it's in the potential, and it means this would lead to this conclusion. In other words, what he's going to say, and we'll pull it together in a minute. When now they're seeing, okay, this is the first verse. He didn't do any Shruti Namaskara in the first verse. I'm not going to read this. Seeing that might make you think this is not worthy of being read. Okay? So he says, and this, being begun without the stuti namaskara, the vartamanaha, right, vina stuti namaskara, vartamanaha, this which is beginning without the stuti and namaskara, would lead to, or should lead to, could lead to, because potential, it could lead to what? Anadaraniya vachanaha, the dismissing of the words, dismissing of the work of these words, because of being ashishta, because of being brash, crude, uneducated, not part of the tradition, okay? Iti chait, thus if. Now, in the Bhasha, they'll often start, as I said, a doubt with nanu, and they'll end it with iti chait. It literally just means thus if. But in what it's meaning, if we were to fill it out with the word, we would say, thus if you should make this objection, right? If you should have this objection. Because it starts with nanu, right? So doubt. Iti chait. Thus if. Means thus if you should have this doubt. You get it? So you would fill that in brackets. Dash na. No. So that's how we do it in the Sanskrit, in the Bhasha. Iti chait. Na. Means if you should think this, if you should doubt this, then no. Then, you see, no semicolon. In this particular text, which is being copied out of this book here, right, this particular text puts in punctuation for you, which can be a problem sometimes. Sometimes their punctuation was not correct and it throws you off. But here it says no, semicolon. Means no, it is not so. This is not right. So he gives what he tells why it is not right. Everybody with me? So repeat after me. Na.
No.
Stuti namaskara yoho.
Stuti namaskara yoho.
Do you see that S there? Visarga.
Yes.
Stuti namaskara yos. That S there is a Visarga. So stuti namaskara yos. Yot means yoho. Then trividyat. Trividyat. Trividhau.
Trividhau.
Stuti namaskarau.
Stuti namaskarau.
Kayikau.
Vachikau.
Manasikau.
Manasikau.
Cheti.
Cheti.
Okay. No. No. Stuti namaskara yoho. That's going to be your genitive dual of this compound for of stuti and namaskara, or for praise and salutations, trividya, because of being threefold. Trividya means having being threefold. The twat, because of being trividya, threefold, for stuti namaskara. In English we'd just say, Because of stuti and namaskara, because of stuti and namaskara being threefold, right? But in Sanskrit they say, because of being threefold, for stuti and namaskara. You see that? Okay. Trividhau, he. Now he's going to say extra words here. Trividhau, he, stuti namaskarau. Because, this means he. Trividhau in the dual means threefold. What are threefold? Stuti namaskarau. Dual. Stuti and because, he. Stuti and namaskara, praise and salutations, are threefold. Dash. Everybody with me? Trividhau, dual, threefold. He, because. Stuti namaskarau. Stuti, it's a dwandva compound. Stuti and namaskara, praise and salutations, are threefold. Dash. Kayikau, dual again. Stuti and namaskara and namaskara can be kayika. They can be physical. Like through the doing of a puja, through prostrating down with your body, they're physical. So the stuti and namaskara can be physical. Stuti and namaskara can be vachikau, verbal. Stuti and namaskara, manasikal, mental. So stuti and namaskara are threefold. Physical, kayikal, verbal, vachikal, manasikal, cha, and mental, iti. Okay? Tatra, there. Tatra means, so repeat after me. Is everybody with me on that?
Yes.
So repeat. Tatra.
Tatra.
Kayika,
vachika
yoho, adarj visarga. Kayika, vachika yoho, abhave, api. Kayika, vachika yoho, abhave, api. Parama shishta twat. Acharyasya. Grantasya avignena parisamaptes tehe cha. Cha is visarga, right? Manasikau stuti namaskara. Sorry, stuti namaskarau. That av is av. Right? The stuti namaskarav is sandhi, where av becomes av. Stuti namaskarav akarot. Da becomes ta, akarot. Ayam acharyaha. Iti avagamyate. Iti avagamyate, iti avagamyate, the e plus a becomes ya, iti avagamyate. Yet kinchit, Etat. Yet. Kinchit. Etat. Ta. Da becomes ta. Ta becomes da. Because of the soft, because of the vowel. Okay, let's look at this. Tatra. Indeclinable. Tra gives the sense of location. And it means there. Means in reference to that, in that work. There, regarding that, what you've said. Kayika vachika yoho abhave api. Okay. Kayika means physical. Vachika means verbal. The yoho is the genitive dual. Abhave, in the absence. But when we have, we would translate like this with the api. Even, api, even though, even in the absence of kayika and vachika. Api is, means also or even. So we would say, even though it has the sense of even. In English, we'd say even, and with a slocative sense, even when there is the abhava, even when there is the absence of the physical, kayika, and verbal.
Yeah, where does it say abhava? I mean, the something over there.
Let watch it while I read it. Kayika vachika yoho, the ra is visarga, and then it says the ra without the a is visarga, and that's the abhave, yo rabhave.
But I thought in that Santi rule, it's any vowel plus visarga plus
then the visarga goes to the...
No.
Sorry. What did I do? There it is.
Can you pick the glasses again?
Oh. That's your job, is to pick it up for you.
I'm going to hold on to them.
Okay. The rule is any vowel except or ah,
right.
Followed by visarga, followed by soft consonant or vowel. The visarga goes to ra.
Right, but the vowel remains, right? The latter vowel remains.
That's right.
But so where is the in the avi abhava?
Yoho. Let me get started with the yo. Yo ra bave. Okay. So far.
Yeah.
What is this letter?
Okay.
Got it.
Okay.
You gotta be careful.
Well, I know. Every time I put my head down, my glasses fall.
Last time I fell on the floor over there.
I know. Okay, let's go from tetra. Tetra, kayika, vachika yoho, abhave, api. Okay? So even when, this is a locative construction here, even in, we could say even in the absence, the abhava, of the physical and verbal. Physical is kayika, vachika is verbal, yoho is genitive, abhave api, even in the absence, or even when there is the absence, however it works in English, even in the absence of the physical, the kayika and the vachika, parama shishta twat, because of being highly learned, parama means extremely, supremely shishta, learned, supremely learned, means one who is totally immersed and respected within the tradition. Paramashishta twat acharyasya, for the acharya. In English, you would, in Sanskrit, they say, because of being extremely learned for the acharya. In English, we'd say, because of the acharya being extremely learned. Okay, so you have to get used to that construction. Then, so that's one thing. Then look at this next. Grantasya avignena. Vigna means obstacle. Avignena means without obstacle. Okay? Grantasya, of this book, granthasya, of the book, avignena, without obstruction. Parisamaptehe cha. Parisamaptehe is the ablative singular. So it would say, and because of the parisamapti, because of the completion, without obstruction, avignena, of the book. Does everybody see that? Grantasya, of the book. Do you see grantasya at the end of the sentence?
Yeah, yeah.
Of the book, avignena, without obstruction,
okay.
Parisamaptehe, ablative singular, because of the completion, because of completing. Because of completing the book, because of the completion of the book without obstruction. Cha and. So far the sentence says, there, regarding that doubt, that you might think this book is not worth reading because it didn't start out with a prayer. So regarding all of that, even though there is the absence of the physical and the mental, because of the acharya the physical and the verbal, because of the acharya being extremely learned, paramashishtatvat acharyasya, and you have to pick up the cha from the last part of the parisamaptehe, and because of the book, because of the completion of the book without obstacle, grantasya avignena parisamaptehe, manasikau, going on, mental, dual, stuti namaskarau, akarot, ayam acharyaha, this teacher, ayam this, acharyaha, this teacher, akarot, past tense, he did, stuti and namaskara, stuti namaskarau, accusative dual, he did stuti, he did praise and salutation, mentally. He did mental praise and salutation.
We know that just because he's so...
We know this for two reasons. Because he's a learned scholar, is the first reason. And so he knows the tradition. He's highly respected within the tradition. So he knows the tradition very well. That's number one. Number two is the text was completed without obstacles, otherwise the devata would get in the way, you know, and create pratibandhikas. But instead, the whole work was completed beautifully without obstacles, and the teacher is highly regarded within the tradition. So there's no way the teacher wouldn't know to do this stuti namaskara. And then you have to realize there are three types of stuti namaskara. It can either be done physically, verbally, or mentally. So if the physical and verbal are not here, then obviously it was done mentally, because he's very learned within the tradition, right? He's very learned within the tradition, and also the text was completed without obstruction.
So some deity would intervene, is that there?
Papa, it's not a good idea to begin anything without evoking the gods. So those two. So iti avagamyate. Thus, it is to be understood. Avagamyate, passive tense. It is to be understood, it is to be known. This is to be recognized. Yet kincha etat. This is just something. When you say yet kincha, so it's hard to translate. It means this is just an aside. This is just some little thing. Kincha means something. This is just something. Just to make note. Just to mention. Just simply mentioning. Just a little something.
I wonder why you asked it.
Because somebody might wonder. They might wonder, and he wants to make sure that it's understood, you know, properly. That somebody doesn't have this doubt. In other words, everybody feels that they...
I'm sorry, I thought this was from last week.
Let's take a little break, because I also...